And the record should indicate Mr. Durst is not here. We understand he is in the jail hospital because of some incident this morning involving his health.
I have no idea whether this is legitimate or not, but obviously, given his history, it is certainly a suspect as to what his actual condition is.
Does the court have any further information than what we got this morning?
I do not.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to this special breaking news edition of Jury Duty, The Trial of Robert Durst. I'm your host, Carrie Antholis. This morning, Thursday, June 10th, the jury filed into the courtroom where Robert Durst is on trial for the murder of his friend, Susan Berman. The jurors took their assigned seats and watched as Judge Windham made his usual entrance, picked up his mic, and offered them his customary morning welcome.
All right, well, good morning.
He followed that, however, with a quite surprising announcement.
Ladies and gentlemen, today, for reasons beyond our control, we're not able to proceed today. And so we have a surprise longer weekend. I'm going to have you return at 9 o'clock on Monday morning.
After the jury left the courtroom, Judge Windham added,
"And the record should indicate Mr. Durst is not here. We understand he is in the jail hospital because of some incident this morning involving his health."
An incident involving his health. Since the trial resumed last month, Robert Durst has been in attendance in a wheelchair, seated at the defense table, typically beside Dick DeGaren, his defense attorney. Because of a major loss of hearing, Durst has followed the proceedings on a tablet where transcriptions of witness testimony and lawyers' arguments are presented in real time. Frail and feeble, Durst appears much older than his 78 years might suggest, and yet we have reason to believe that he is mentally as sharp as ever. Several weeks ago, on the eve of the trial, Robert Durst presented a letter to Judge Windham that he wrote, or rather scrawled, with a golf pencil. As we reported earlier this season, Durst brought up in this letter a legal argument to the judge and hurled insults at his defense team with his signature acerbic wit. He wrote that perhaps his lawyers were, quote, experiencing temporary insanity or some form of collective dementia, end quote. Soon after that, the defense filed a motion for a mistrial on the basis of Durst's failing health, which Judge Windham swiftly denied. As a result of this incident and statements made by Durst during jail phone calls, the prosecution expressed skepticism about the stated reason for Durst's absence from the courtroom this morning.
Anything else?
Your Honor, one last thing, and again, I have no idea what Mr. Durst's situation is. I will say that Mr. Durst is on record in his jail calls saying that he's going to fake dementia, saying that he's going to secure a mistrial due to COVID. So I have no idea whether this is legitimate or not, but obviously, given his history, it is certainly a suspect as to what his actual condition is. I guess the court doesn't have any more information than we do, but it's certainly concerning. There were two more requests for mistrial yesterday over what can only be characterized as extremely minor issues. It's very clear that the defense and the defendant want this trial to go away.
Judge Windham elaborated that he had been informed that Robert Durst seemed to have collapsed. He went on to assure the prosecution that it would be impossible to fool the county jail hospital staff with a fake illness.
So he wouldn't be taken to the hospital without a legitimate question as to his health. His circumstances this morning were that he was down. He was not in his chair. So he needed to be seen. And okay. Is it false? Is it fake? They do a good job at that jail of ascertaining whether or not a person is good to go to court.
Finally, this information seems to have come as much to the surprise of Durst's defense team as it did to everyone else, with attorney Dick DeGaren asking Judge Windham,
"Does the court have any further information than what we got this morning?"
"I do not."
Charlie Bagley, who was covering this case for the New York Times and for CrimeStory.com, was in the courtroom this morning and has some additional information for us on these events. Charlie, what do you know?
Well, what I've learned from folks inside the Durst camp is that Bob's vital signs this morning were fine. Exactly what happened, what prompted this medical incident, we still don't know. Part of the problem is that when you go into the prison hospital, you're still covered by HIPAA regulations. So they're not supposed to be disclosing his medical condition to the public.
And Charlie, tell me a little bit about what the atmosphere in the courtroom was like after the judge made the announcement that they wouldn't be having the proceedings today.
Well, it came as a big surprise. I mean, everybody had filed into the courtroom. The jury was seated. The very few visitors, two of us, were seated. And the lawyers were all waiting and, you know, looking for Bob when the judge said there would be no testimony today. And he dismissed the jury for a very long weekend.
Did you get a look at any of the jurors before they left the courtroom? Did they seem to be nonplussed, confused?
The jury, I think they were ambivalent in the sense that on the one hand, they were happy to go home. On the other hand, it was like everyone else. They had girded for a day. They were ready. They had gotten up early to go to the court. You know, they filed out without too much noise, and that was it for them. And everybody's still wondering exactly what happened.
What happened to Bob? That's been a question that's been hovering around Mr. Durst's life for quite a long time, I think.
Yeah, and the thing about the Durst case is there's always another surprise, something strange that's happening. Everything about this trial is odd, and this is no different.
Charlie, thanks for being with us, and keep us posted on any more developments.
I will. Thank you.
Automatically receive alerts and news breaks on developments in Robert Durst's murder trial, as well as new episodes of Season 2 of Jury Duty, The Trial of Robert Durst, by subscribing now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Remember, if you want to refresh your memory on where the prosecution and defense are heading with their arguments in the trial, go back and re-listen to episodes from Season 1. And head over to CrimeStory.com for in-depth coverage of the Durst story. Jury Duty, The Trial of Robert Durst is created and produced by yours truly, Carrie Antholis. Brittany Bookbinder is my co-host. This episode was co-produced by Alexis Notabartolo and Brittany Bookbinder. Music was provided by Strike Audio. Thanks for joining us, and we hope you will come back for the next episode of Jury Duty, The Trial of Robert Durst.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.